Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my third week of teaching on Lessons from David. And I tell you, this is powerful. I have gotten so much good at David's expense. I don't have to learn everything myself. I can go to the Word of God and learn in the way that God has dealt with David and other people. So this is the beginning of my third week. We've got a brand new book on this entitled Lessons from David. And then I've got DVDs and CDs that I've had out for quite a while, but we've expanded them. As I was teaching this on television, the things that I'm going to start teaching starting tomorrow are going to be an expansion to what my typical teaching or my old teaching was on Lessons from David. So it's new and improved. So anyway, we got some new materials out. I encourage you to get it. The last few days, what I've been talking about is four things that made David a man after God's own heart. And I won't go back and reteach all of it, but the first thing I talked about, it was a heart issue. David, his heart was united with God. He was a worshiper of God in spirit and in truth. It wasn't just his actions. David did some things wrong. David made mistakes, but his heart was after God. It didn't do it perfectly, but nonetheless, God deals with us based on our heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." And so God dealt with David based on his heart. He was a worshiper in heart. And that's important because we put so much emphasis on performance that we sometimes forget this. But even people with a good heart can still make mistakes. But God will give you grace and mercy when your heart is right and your head is wrong. Man, that's a powerful truth. We also talked about one of the distinguishing characteristics between David, a man after God's own heart, and Absalom, his son, and Saul, his predecessor, was that these two guys did not accept responsibility for their own actions. They blamed everybody else. Absalom blamed David and became bitter towards David and actually caused a civil war, and tens of thousands of people died as well as Absalom. Saul was always blaming somebody else and saying it's their fault and the people made me do this and stuff. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be a man or woman after God's own heart, you're going to have to break with our society today who does not accept responsibility for their own actions and blames everybody else and says that's, you know, my genes made me do this. It's the way that I was abused. It's the fact that this person did this to me. And you're going to have to start accepting responsibility for your own actions. Also, another thing that made David a man after God's own heart was that he was out to please God, not please people. And a verse that I used on our program last Friday that has really ministered to me is John chapter 5, verse 44, where Jesus said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone?" If you are a man pleaser, if you have to have people constantly reaffirm you, if you are codependent upon people's acceptance and approval, you are never going to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You're going to have to get, and see, this really goes back and it kind of ties everything together, that you've got to have a heart relationship with God to where you're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and it's from your heart that you love Him more than anything else. And see, that in a sense is just, this is another way of expressing that same thing, is that your heart has to be so set on God that it doesn't matter to you what people say. You know, one of Satan's biggest tools are devices against a person who's really trying to go on with God and not only get their life together, but be an instrument to bless other people. One of Satan's biggest tools against that is persecution. It says that in Mark chapter 4, I believe it's verse 17 and 18. And he comes with affliction and persecution to steal away the word and get you to where you are defending yourself, licking your own wounds instead of preaching the gospel and standing for what God told you to do. I don't think any of us should like rejection. If you do, something's wrong with you because God made us for relationship with Him. And it's just inbred within every person that we want to have good relationships. So I don't think that we should like rejection, but you shouldn't let rejection stop you. You need to get to a place where your heart is so set on God that it doesn't matter what anybody says. You are not going to get off the track and up into the grandstands arguing with the spectators. You're going to stay on track and do what God called you to do. Man, those are tremendous lessons to learn about David. And the last thing that I want to say about David is that he had a cause that was bigger than him. Now, this is something that makes a person after God's own heart. You could say this in different ways. You could say that you aren't just self-promoting, self-seeking, and doing only what is good for you, but you have God in mind and what God's purpose is for your life. You're literally willing to sacrifice your own self-interest and sacrifice your life in order to be able to accomplish God's will for you. Now, there's not a lot of people that are willing to do that. You know, in the Bible, you see in the New Testament, lots of the early apostles that literally were martyred for their faith. And they had a cause that was bigger than them. They laid their life down. I think that that is a person with a heart for God. That's a man or a woman after God's own heart. Jesus did this exact same thing. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God the Father so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God literally gave up His best for us. Jesus gave up His life for us. It's a godly trait. To have a heart after God, you have to be a person that loves God and other people more than you love yourself. And I tell you, there's not a lot of people that can say that. I don't think any of us ever get to where we are just pure in this area, because you know what? Selfishness is just, it seems like it's like gravity. It's always pulling on you. There's always self-interest that is just weighing on us. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can apply that greater law of thrust and lift, and even though gravity still exists, you know, a plane flies, even though selfishness may still be a tendency, you can overcome it. You can lay your life down and esteem other people better than yourselves, is what the Lord told us to do in Philippians chapter 2. And we can get to where we actually honor other people and lay our life down. Jesus said, "No greater love hath any man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends." And we can lay our life down for other people, but it's not normal. This is something that you have to seek and pursue, and you have to desire it, and you need some cause that's bigger than you. Let me go back to a passage of Scripture that I've already used. When David was fighting Goliath, you know, he began to start speaking, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And his brother Eliab came against him and began to criticize him and say, "Who have you left these few sheep with? And, you know, you've come down here. I know the naughtiness and the pride of your heart." And he just began to dump on David. I already talked about this, but this reflects his jealousy, is what I believe it was. I believe that the root of all contention is pride. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes contention. It may not look that way to you on the surface, but if you peel back the layers, the bottom line is it's contention is all caused by pride or selfishness, self-centeredness. And it's just people that are coming against you because of what you're saying or doing makes them uncomfortable. It's all self-centered. They're only thinking about themselves. And so Eliab, it was his selfishness. But nonetheless, when he came out, instead of David getting off the track, running into the grandstands and arguing with the spectators, he just says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" In other words, he had something that was bigger than himself. He didn't have time to argue with Eliab. He had something that was bigger than himself. If he would have been arguing with his brother and trying to justify himself and reconcile and keep the family happy and do all of these things, he never would have gotten out there to fight with Goliath and have accomplished this. And I'm telling you, one of the things I think that made David a man after God's own heart, he expressed it right here. He says, "Is there not a cause? Isn't there something bigger than just you and me, you know, having sibling quarrel here and trying to get this together? Man, there's some things that are worth just, you know, you've got to turn away from people Instead of getting down to their level and griping and complaining and seeking their approval, this goes back to the previous thing I was talking about where you're a man-pleaser instead of a God-pleaser. Instead of trying to get everybody to like you, there's things more important than that. You know, I get a lot of criticism directed my way, and I don't like criticism. I would like for everybody to like me, but I've come to grips with it that it's not going to happen. Jesus said, "Beware when all men speak well of you, for so spake they of the false prophets which were before you." 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." I've come to the realization that if I never bump into the devil, it's because we're both headed in the same direction. But you turn around and start swimming upstream, there's going to be some resistance. So I've come to the realization that it's going to happen. But you know what? I don't like it. But there is something bigger than just me being popular and people liking me and everybody liking what I've got to say. There is a cause. God has given me a purpose in my life that is to share the truth. And the truth will set people free. And in the process of sharing the truth, not only are there going to be people that receive it and get set free, but there's also going to be people that fight back. I've had a lot of bad things said about me and done to me and stuff. I've been kidnapped, threatened to be killed, all for the gospel's sake. I've had a lot of things happen. But you know what? They're just something bigger than me. If I was only out to please myself, if it was all about me, there are other ways I could make a living. There are things, especially in the beginning days of this ministry, there's lots of things I could have done that would have produced more income with less problem and less criticism. But see, God has called me. There's an anointing on my life. God has given me a goal of doing some things, sharing the truth with people that's going to make a difference. And there's something bigger than me. I tell you, that is awesome to have something bigger than yourself and self-reputation to live for. And I'm saying this in love, but there are many of you watching this program right now that you don't have anything in your life that's bigger than you. Right now, you are sitting on the throne. You are the center of the universe. It all revolves around you. And if you go back to this verse I've already quoted, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, only by pride comes contention. You could say it this way, that if there isn't pride, self-centeredness, if it wasn't all about you, you wouldn't be angry. You wouldn't take offense. I've got people right now who've said terrible things about me, but you know what? I've just let it go. I recognize that you can't please everybody. I've got a purpose. I've gone on with my life. And you know what? If I was to see these people today, I could hug them. I could love them. It's not a problem. If it's not all about you, you can let these things go. Some of you that are just so incapacitated, I mean, you're handicapped because of the way people have treated you. The reason is because you are so focused on yourself. You know, I remember when I was back in the denominational church, we used to sing these songs, you know, about going out and count your many blessings, name them one by one. And part of that song is you go out and help somebody else see how bad their situation is, and you start feeling better about your own. Many of you could just come out of the funk that you're in, the depression and the discouragement, if you were to quit thinking only about yourself and go out and help somebody else who's less fortunate than you. I heard a story once about a man who was complaining about his feet hurting until he saw somebody come by that didn't have any feet, and all of a sudden he realized, you know what, it's not so bad to have your feet hurting. You go find somebody else that's struggling, and you get a cause, a purpose for your life that is beyond yourself, and you start thinking about other people, and it shrinks your problems right down into a very manageable style, size. And I'm telling you, you need to have a cause, a purpose for your life that is bigger than you. You know, right now, we've got a Bible school that's growing. We've got 600 and something people on our local campus. We've got 5,300 people that are in our Bible school through online correspondence and extension schools around the world. I've got all of these people that are dependent upon me. I've got a staff. I've got television programs that I need to make, and there's people that watch them. And because of this, you know what? There's times that I don't feel like getting up and going to do something. But when you have a purpose in life, a cause, something that you know you are called to do, and it's going to affect people, and people are dependent upon you, it will cause you to get up and do things that you wouldn't normally feel like doing. And again, I'm saying this in love, but I know I'm speaking to some people right now that you're just laying in bed. You're sitting there indulging your own hurts and pains, your own depression, thinking just about yourself, and your whole life is all about you. I'm saying this in love, but if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. And there are some of you that are a very small package. And what you need to do is get some purpose beyond yourself. It's not just all about you. So what if you got a problem? Other people have problems. Go out and help somebody solve their problem. You know, if nothing else, it says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And so if you've got a problem, go help somebody else with a problem. And as you give, the giving that you do is going to come back unto you. God will help meet your need. If you have a financial need, go help somebody else with their finances. Maybe you don't have enough finances to solve your problem. If what you have isn't enough for your need, then turn it into a seed and go plant it in somebody else. It may not solve your problem, but maybe somebody else with a lesser problem, you could go give somebody enough money to get them a food or a warm place to stay or something, and you could help them. And as you sow into their life, it'll come back unto you. If you find somebody else who's heartbroken and something bad has happened, go help them. And as you give unto them, it'll come back unto you. The best way to get your needs met are to help meet the needs of other people. You give, and God will take the little that you were able to give and multiply it back to you, and you'll reap back a hundredfold. You go help one person, 100 people will come help you. If your heart's pure in this, and if you aren't doing it to try and manipulate and, you know, just like a slot machine, you just do something and now, God, you got to come through with 100 people. If you will do it with a pure heart and go give to other people, I guarantee you, it'll come back to you in this life 100-fold. That's what it says in Mark chapter 10. And so you've got to have something beyond yourself. David had a call on his life. He was called to be king, and because of it, David put up with hardship. He turned the other cheek. He let things happen. When his brother criticized him, he, instead of arguing and defending himself, he says, "Is there not a cause?" And you know, a scripture that I used last week from 2 Samuel chapter 15, as David was leaving the city of Jerusalem, as his son Absalom was coming in. And Absalom was coming in with all of these soldiers, and if David would have stayed, he would have been killed. They brought the ark out, which was a symbol of God's presence and God's blessing and anointing. It was a powerful thing. And yet David said, "Take the ark back to its place. And if God is pleased with me, He will return me to Jerusalem and to the ark. But if He's through with me, well, then let Him be through with me." In other words, all I want is what God wants. He had something bigger than himself. He actually wanted the best for the kingdom. You know, I don't say this with any malice, but I do believe it's a correct evaluation that a lot of people in our government today who get elected, they may start out with a pure motive and run on this thing that I'm going to get in and I'm going to change things and I'm going to make government responsible to the people, and they have all of these great things. But then they get in there and they start getting all of this acclaim and they get so worried about, am I going to be reelected, that they start compromising and they don't stand for the things that they said they would, and they just become weak, just like the people we voted for them to replace. And you know why? Because they don't have anything that's bigger than themselves. It's all about themselves. It's all about getting reelected. It's all about their security. It's all about their legacy. Man, what's happened to the people that, you know, started this nation, the United States, that literally sacrificed their life? If you read the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, these people pledged their lives, their fame, their fortune to the cause, and the majority of them wound up losing their lives or their fortunes or all of these things. I mean, they sacrificed big time. Today, most people don't have a cause that's bigger than themselves. There's nothing more important than them just living comfortably and having a great retirement. I'm telling you that that's wrong. That keeps you from being a person after God's own heart. David is a person that had something bigger than himself to live for. And it was, first of all, his personal relationship with God. But then second, he was called to be king and he did what was best for the nation. He put himself through adversity. He suffered things. When he made mistakes, he took the criticism. He didn't blame other people, but he had something that was bigger than himself. And it's really expressed over there in 2 Samuel chapter 15 when he says, you know, take the ark back. Do what's best for the people. And if God's through with me, if it's Absalom's turn, well, then let Absalom have it. But he was wanting God's will more than his own will. Man, that's huge. And I'm telling you, this is one of the very things that Satan uses to gain access to us. I believe that Adam and Eve's original sin was pride, selfishness. They thought that God had held something back from them. You can read that in Genesis chapter 3. That He was keeping them from doing something. And so they wanted to exalt themselves rather than submit themselves to God. And that same sin is just continuing on today. Every sin that a person commits is because they somehow or another are going to exalt themselves. They are going to promote themselves. They're going to do what they think at the moment is best for themselves. Of course, if they were truly objective, they would recognize that all sin is destroying yourself. God, the way that He told us to stay with one woman for a life, that's not because He's trying to hurt us or reject us. That's because that was His best. And yet we think we know better. And so we go pick and choose and have extramarital affairs and do things. And I guarantee you that's really not in your self-interest. It's destroying you. God knows what's best. He told us what's the right way to conduct ourselves in marriage, in business, in integrity, in just all kinds of areas. But it's selfishness. People thinking that, no, God's restricting me. I'm missing out on some pleasure. I guarantee you, sin is not pleasurable. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but the end of it is just total death. If you look at the whole thing, it is not worth it. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is stupid. You shouldn't be doing it. But God loves us. Stupid. Amen. So anyway, I'm just trying to get across that if you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you need to have these qualities that David had. And that is that his heart was committed to God. He had a personal relationship with God. That was paramount in his life, even more so than his actions. And when his actions got out of line with God, he was able to go back and rekindle that love in his heart, return to his first love. That is one of the first things. He accepted responsibility for his own actions. When he messed up, he didn't blame anybody the way Absalom and the way Saul did. He said, "Against you and you only have I sinned." He also was a God pleaser instead of a man pleaser. His whole focus was on what God wanted for him. And then lastly, he was a person that had a cause, a purpose for his life that was bigger and more important than himself. He exalted God and what God wanted him to accomplish as being more important than his own personal safety and promotion. I tell you, if you would take those things and begin to start cultivating that in your life, and if David did this without the Holy Spirit and the new birth that we have today, I guarantee you, then we can do it. This is God's will for us, is to become a man or a woman after God's own heart.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Charis Bible College provide a place where spiritually hungry students can learn the difference between religion and a relationship with God.
I got radically saved and delivered. As soon as I was delivered from all of those things from the past, immediately I began to be bound by religion. And I got into some serious legalism and bondage. And so the Lord began to speak to me about watching Andrew once a day. And I went from watching him once a day to sometimes two and three times a day. Well, I just came to the place where I was hearing two different gospels. In my church, I was hearing one thing and Andrew was teaching another, and I just came before God and I said, "Which one's the truth, Lord?" I mean, that's really what it came down to.
The gospel that bears the fruit of peace, love, joy, and healing drew Catherine like a homing beacon to Charis Bible College.
I heard from the Lord specifically, take the classes online. And so I signed up in July of 2012 and I started taking, I just committed to two classes, that was it. I started to break through, and it went from just me hearing it to me receiving it, and I started to really begin to challenge some of the things that I was hearing. in church and some of the things that were I had been taught that were not biblical or didn't line up with the Word. I started in July of 2012, and I only took two classes a term. So by the time I was in December, I had taken six classes, and I just really felt the Holy Spirit drawing me here to Colorado. I felt like He was speaking to me, this is what I have for you next. There is a grace to be in the center of God's perfect will. When you step out in faith, and you leave everything, and you just step out, and He just carries you. And He carried me here. I got so many miracles, financial miracles that brought me here, that kept me here. I mean, I got here on the wings of angels. He brought me here. I love the class time. I love the instructors. I love what I'm learning. But it's the fellowship with all these other people who've done the same thing I did. They left everything to follow the call of God and just to be in the center of His perfect will. And it's that that's been such a blessing and an encouragement to me.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Lessons from David is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. It's also available in a brand new companion study guide that's perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only is the entire teaching included in the study guide, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CD. This valuable resource is available for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get Lessons from David on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled Three Kings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.